Good evening, one and all. Yes, another week and another book and a chat here on New Visions Radio with me, your host, Barry. Yes, it's me again. And it's been snowy, Connecticut. I was just telling my guests, we've had, last week I think it was, we had like, I think I dug the car out four times. Yeah, it was like a foot and then another 6 inches and then, oh, we're okay for a day. Oh no, here comes another foot, which is about 3 foot. But the roads are clear and everything, so you can travel. Except today, of course, we had frozen rain, which is even worse. I talked to my guest, she's got lovely weather where she is, but never mind. We're not jealous really, but we're here and that's it. Well, now I was talking to a couple of mates of mine last week and we sort of, catching up on sort of 50 odd years friendship we've had, and we're talking about what we when we first met and what we wanted to do and what we planned to do and stuff like that. I mean, when you're at school, people, what do you want to do when you leave school or when you grow up? There's only a certain number of fire engine drivers and train drivers and doctors and stuff like that, you always want to do. But what is it you're meant to do? We've had people on the show who have a voice comes to them and tell them they need to write their story, or they need to tell people what happened to educate people, like it's something they were meant to do. Now, myself, I started doing these radio shows after I wrote my own books, because I was guest on some shows, and to be quite honest, it was horrendous. I ended up taking over the lead and running the shows for it, and I thought, well, I enjoy a good chat. And a few laughs and stuff like that. So I started 10 years ago now, something like that, doing these 11 shows. Went up from one a week, 2 a week, 3 a week, 4 a week at one time. We're up to about 1,700 book and a chat now in that time. And of course, it meant I haven't done any more writing, but I do enjoy the shows. But my guest, she can tell us a bit more about that. She can. Well, let's introduce her, and then we can talk about this, because on the show today, I have the one and only Dr. Rebecca Louisa Smith. Well, she's allowed me to call her Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for that kind intro.
My pleasure, my pleasure. I heard your accent there in the middle of that. Gives it away sometimes. Yourself, you sort of were doing, films or something like that, film festival stuff, and then you suddenly realised that, hey, this is what I like, this is what I'm meant to be. Is that how it happened?
Yeah, so everything that's amazing in my life always happens, like, out the blue and totally unexpected. So I was studying for my PhD in film and audience research in Wales in the UK, and I thought that's what I wanted to do because people said I'd be good at it and I should do it, so I just took their lead. But then I realised when I began to organise and co-produce a horror film festival in Wales, mm-hmm. that I was asked to do to help me, as a nice distraction from working hard on the PhD, I realised that when I was working there, I thought, hang on, this is what I think I want to do in my life. I don't think I want to be in academia for any longer. I feel like I'm most drawn to working in this field in the film industry. This is like miles away from academia and the world of academia, but I just think this is where I belong.
Yeah. I remember I had I'm in IT. Well, I was in IT. And, we had somebody who was a really good person in IT and they had a degree in zoology. Would you
believe? My friend had a degree in zoology and she's now, she's a physiotherapist. So that's her life purpose.
Yeah.
It's like definitely different.
But it's interesting. I mean, was it, what led you to sort of be in the horror, of organizing this horror, festival?
Yeah. Yeah, so this all came, as I said, just like unexpectedly, because my friend, who is the manager of the theatre in Aberystwyth, mm-hmm. said, I've been asked to produce a horror film festival by the Film Council in Wales, because there isn't a horror festival in Wales, and they think it's best to have it here because there's students.
Right.
I was like, oh, great idea. So do you want to help out? I was like, yeah, because I just need to get out of the house because I'm working a lot, and it's very solitary, and I want to just interact with people because I'm a very social person. And he was like, oh, come and help. So this went from, this, like, distraction and this hobby to actually there's a big gap in the market here that I can fill because there's nobody offering the service that my company does now to filmmakers. There's nobody at the time who was doing, quite mainstream kind of work trying to help.
Right, right.
Invest.
Yeah.
was like, wow, I found a niche and I need to fill it and I need to keep doing this. This is what my soul's telling me to do. I don't want to be an academia anymore.
Because that's interesting, because you've obviously, as you said, you're a sociable person, etc. And in a way, it's like with me, you know, I enjoy chatting and you know, a sociable side of stuff. And it's then the niche that sort of opens up. It's like sometimes when we have authors on, you know, they sort of might have written, I don't know, detective type novels up to now. And I say, well, you know, have you tried something else? Are you sure this is what you want to do? And then they say, oh, I've just written a historical romance. Or you get others that flip from genre to genre to genre, trying to find what is their stopping place, what they're meant to write. And it sounds like that with you. You did your social stuff, and then, hey, not only am I enjoying this, but there is a niche market there, which your book helps us with to use, you know, techniques and various things to open up that niche, if you like.
Yeah, I mean, like, people did tell me that my business wouldn't work. And they said, look, no one is really doing what you plan on doing. And I know it's a lovely idea, but you've not got anything to prove it. So you can't charge people until you can actually prove it. I said, well, I will work for free in the beginning. I've got a grant here. My parents are being really helpful, get me through the PhD. And I'm going to make sure I make this by myself and earn my crusts. But I'm convinced it will work. I just know inside it's going to work. And they were like, well, you have to prove it. So I did. And then as when time went on, I managed to charge my worth and then increased the price in the brand.
Yeah.
So every day now I keep tweaking it, but I mean, it was just, they were like, wow, well, it does work, so people are going to want this, and they do. But it had to prove it though.
Right.
It wasn't to prove, because my sole purpose was guiding me towards it. So that's.
Did you find it hard to, I mean, you were sort of working for government or what have you, arts, you know, people,
yeah,
to start with, to then say, okay, I'm going to make this jump. I'm going to go into business on my own. Was that a big, I can imagine that being really hard, sort of losing your safety net.
Oh, yeah, it was hard. I mean, it was hard because people around me were like, well, you've got nothing to fall back on. You've got no, like, 9-to-5 office job.
Yep.
So I don't want one, because I can always go back to teaching. There's always a backup. But, you know, this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I know is going to be good and will work. I'm convinced it will be. And I'm not away with the fairies. I know how to ask people for help. And I know how to turn to people. And I'm going to be on a journey when I do this. But I just know I need to do it. That's what I'm being told to do. And that's what I was supposed to do. But it was. I mean, like, my parents at first were a bit like, ooh, I mean, going to London is a big place.
It's right.
Place. I mean, you were in like Wales, Nebraska, that was like the tiniest like town in the whole of the UK. So London is like a million times bigger. I said, well, I can get by. And at first it was a big struggle. I was having to work part-time in some, you know, temping agencies, which I didn't enjoy, but I mean, nice people to work, but it was obviously boring work. But then that then changed because things got busier, and then it became a full-time job, and I was only doing it by myself. But then I managed to grow it, and now I have two girls that work with me, and I've got website designer, I've got a lawyer, I've got an accountant, so now it's like not all doing it by yourself.
Oh, right, yeah, it's good.
Now you need to branch out. Yeah, really good.
See, I can understand that a bit. My eldest son, he worked for Sonic, you know, the
yep,
Hedgehog computer games, as in charge of the fanzines, which,
yes,
you know, at the time it was, oh, crikey, what's that? You know, that's limited to what you can do. But no, he put on exhibitions, he did this, and he has, actually now he's working for a group of hospitals. Similar sort of thing, you know, the being the sort of the front person, if you like, for the group of hospitals up in the Midlands there. But so there is that you have an idea and then you shape, and as you say in your book, you know, using whatever spiritual techniques you got or what help you then find that niche, if you like. There's a little crack in the working place, and you widen that crack until you fit into it.
Exactly. No, it is. But also, when you figure out what your niche is, you can really thrive in it and be that person who is that person doing something that's very different but unique. I mean, there's a lot of niches around, as I mentioned in the book. I mean, the film industry is one niche, but I mean, even social media is a niche. It's not like it's, say, going to a supermarket,
yeah,
which is a little different. So, you know, you can thrive in those little areas. So social media is a big niche, obviously, but then when you figure out what it is that you are most skilled to do and the best thing, and what your best kind of approaches in social media, what you're best at doing, then you can then get the business from it. You know, so for example, it's not a good thing saying that, oh, I'm expert at social media. You've got to hone in on that niche. Well, which aspects? So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, are you good at making, you know, videos?
Yeah.
To help you their businesses? Is it actually teaching me how to use Instagram? I met someone yesterday and she's incredible. Is that her job is helping book authors know how to tell their stories on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's incredible. You know, and there's loads of people that need that. So
oh, crack it. I remember, must be about 9-10 years ago. So it wasn't too long ago, you know, in the sort of IT world, shall you say, that, I was a guest speaker, and I spoke on how to promote your book on a shoestring budget. Yeah. And I'd heard some author came up to me and said that, you know, this package had been offered her by her publishing house, and she said it was just under $1,000. And then I said, well, what does it include? And she says, oh, it's got a website, it's got a Twitter account, it's got a Facebook account, it's got this, that, there. And I said, this is all free or nearly free stuff. And they're charging you $900 for it. And she said, because she, not knowing, she, you know, she was a new author, she just didn't realize.
Mm. Yeah. No, exactly. It's true. You have to be kind of, be careful with those things, but also see what, you know, see what's around and
I mean, you've done really well because, of course, you're now known worldwide as the Film Festival Doctor, being the innovator in that sort of field. But your company won 800 awards and 850 Creative Achievement Filmmaking Dreams and stuff like that. So it's not like you're not doing a lot.
Yeah. Exactly. So we have worked with a lot of clients all over the world since the company began. Predominantly, they're in the UK, USA, and South Africa. We have other people in the countries, but predominantly they're the main ones, which is great. And yeah, we make sure that we, when it talks about niches, we are really, really like laser specific when it comes to placing films and festivals, so that we really home in on which festivals are going to be best for each film that we work on and where to really place it and where to home in on it. So that's what we really love doing, and that's what gets results, because if you're too broad and general to fit a certain type of film into a festival, then it's not going to work and you end up getting nothing. Mm-hmm. So when you really laser focus it onto festivals, more than that niche, you'll do much better.
So do you aim certain things for you know, specific festivals? I mean, you know, is okay, well, our main one's going to be Cannes this year, or we're going to go to, as you say, Aberystwyth or whatever. Do you sort of work the film or whatever you're doing into that festival, or is it just whatever one you can get into?
No, so the way is we do it is we have to look at the film first, because the film dictates the strategy.
Right.
So if we have to think, right, so we've got now a horror thriller, which is a very good film. It's maybe not the most original, but it's certainly got potential. So that way we'll place it into these festivals, which we know would be accommodating to a film like this.
Good.
It isn't quite perfect, but it would certainly have the audience here. So it's kind of, it dictates the film's audience dictates, because that's where the festival's audience is. So it's quite a skill to know which festivals, because it can be quite overwhelming for filmmakers when they're new to this, because there's so many of them. Where do I start? So we just save that headache and fix that problem by, after watching the film, knowing exactly where to place it and where to get it in, basically.
Well, in your new book, Born to Do It, Becoming the Leader of a Business Niche Using Powerful Spiritual Techniques, you do go through some of this and how, I guess, how to help people and how people can help themselves.
That's correct. So what we tend to do, what I do in the book and how I apply that to my business is I talk about kind of the basic kind of key business practices that you need to implement when you're starting out and following your sole purpose, like I did when I left Aberystwyth. Mm-hmm. And I also talk about how to include into your daily life and your business, most importantly, spiritual techniques. Because a lot of people, sometimes when they're running up business, starting businesses up, can lose their spiritual side. And I kind of did, because when I first started up my company, I wasn't that spiritual. It was only a couple of years later, because I was very, very worried and anxious a lot. But then I became introduced to spirituality through, when I broke up with my ex-boyfriend at the time. I went through quite a traumatic event. And it was really helpful having people around me that introduced me to spiritual techniques, you know, manifestation, cosmic ordering.
Oh, okay, right.
Yes, and I realized that, oh, this is how you work with the universe, because I didn't know how to do it, because my parents aren't spiritual. So it was all through learning it through these mentors and teachers that really helped me a lot. And the first one was Marie Diamond, and since then I've had other people, but she was brilliant.
I've heard, yes, we've heard of her on the show before, yeah.
Yeah, she's great. So she really helped me a lot on my first stepping stone into the world of spirituality. And then since then, I've just been very much attuned and aligned and very, very spiritual now. And I use it every day in my business and my life.
So do you find you have to go through like two or three different types of technique, or is it just, do you just sort of work your way through, or is it, okay, this issue could be helped by doing such and such?
So it's kind of like this issue could be helped by doing X, Y, and Z. Right. So with manifestation, I find that's really good for everything, because if you really know how to manifest properly, you'll then be able to visualize it and feel it more.
Right.
And that can then translate onto a vision board, which is also crucial for everybody, not just in the business, but I think generally everyone's lives, to be honest.
Right, indeed, yeah.
I mean, cosmic ordering, when you want to be really specific, you want something and you need to know, you know exactly what it is, what you want, place a cosmic order, because that is like going to a restaurant ordering like your dinner. So, you know, you say to the universe, what I really want is a car parking space when I arrive into London Soho city centre. At the end, you say, for the good of all concerned, so that no one loses out for you to gain. Then when you place that and let go of it, you'll get it, it'll come. And then it always does. But that's really good for being like just needing something quickly, but also, you know, co-creating, but knowing what exactly what you
right.
want to make perfect. And that's really good in the moment. It's really good. But I say cosmic orders every day. Can be in the moment, can be first thing in the morning when I'm getting in my routine. Normally when I place my goals each week, I like to turn them into cosmic orders so that I can really, what's the word, kind of get a feel for what I want in that respect. So, you know, I know what I'm wanting and getting the working with the universe in the morning, co-creating and getting ourselves in alignment and following my guides.
So what drove you to finally write this book? Was it, you know, people asking for help, and you thought, well, you know, they want more information, I can share it with them in this book?
Another accident. Happy accident. So I did an interview, like a very long, in-depth interview for a magazine. Well, sorry, an Indian book called Unique. And it was a really great interview. And then a publishing company read it and she said, have you ever thought about telling your own story? Because it'd be really good for you to share this. And because it's a really engaging interview. I think we've got a really good book in here. Have you ever thought about that? And I said, no. And then she actually got the book out of me. So during lockdown, in the middle of the lockdown in the summer in the UK, and I was still living in the UK, I dedicated, as I wasn't traveling anywhere because I couldn't travel, I dedicated a couple of hours each day to work on my book, which I did and I loved. And it just flowed naturally. And then when we were meeting, when we first met about planning the book, I said, I know what book's inside me is. People are giving me feedback on the interviews that they love the fact that they don't feel alone when I talked about in the business and spirituality. So I thought, I'm going to write a really cool business book. That's a business meets spirituality book. And it's not going to be a dry, boring, how to start your first business book that's very, you know, done to
good.
Death.
Yes.
So I said, what I want to do instead is teach people how to tap into their soul purpose, figure out what they're born to do, and then tell them how to start up their first business using spiritual techniques and business practices. And I think it's a very timely book because right now, with the pandemic, people are losing jobs, etc. The book has come at the right time because it shows you that you can't rely on big corporate companies to fund you the rest of the year with a paycheck because there's no guarantee to sustain. Yeah. So you have to go and figure out what it is that you're born to do to really make it work.
And I think that's definitely, again, you talk about niche and stuff like that. That is a market that's required. There's so many of these, you know, 10 ways to do your life better or you know, this, that and the other. But a book that people can look at, read, and immediately, subconsciously, they are applying it to their own lives. It's like I always say that people write a book about, I don't know, about an illness or about abuse or something like that. They might make it into a novel. It's based around their life, but they make it into a novel. Now, people reading that immediately put themselves, if it's happened to them, in the role of the main character. That's them. Whereas if it's like, you know, 10 things to do, you know, that you should have done when you didn't do them sort of thing, it's not quite the same. And I think with your book, people can definitely put themselves in that position, see how it's affecting their life and see where their life can go.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's on that journey, and you be able to be open to that, so that you can, you know, really see what the universe is telling you, so you don't miss things, and you can actually then, that's how you co-create. Mm. And there's so many opportunities in the world, you just don't notice it. People think nothing's happening during a lockdown. Well, there is. There's loads of things still happening.
Oh, cracker, yeah.
Be able to see it and be open to seeing it and not limiting, like, oh, it's all quiet and boring. It's not, you know, it's got to be, you know, it's the opposite to that.
It really is. I mean, there are, how can I say, there are more openings. Mm. And looking for a way forward and looking for improvement, because the sort of 9 to 5 going into the office, coming home again is never going to happen again. Yeah, that's gone. That's past. I mean, I always say I worked from home for the last 8 years, no, 7 years. Mm. And I always say that I work more hours working from home than going into the office, because if I'm I'm not sort of saying, oh, crikey, well, I've got to leave before 5 o'clock, otherwise I'll hit the traffic, and I don't hit the traffic. And that, you know, you're working at home, somebody's on a call like I used to do, and, you know, do you need any help? You know, I can stay on with you for a while, sort of thing, or something comes through and you phone up and says, you know, so-and-so, you know, do you want me to help you with this? Or I can stay on with you. Whereas when you're in the office, yes, people do stay on, but at the back of your mind, you're always worried about, well, I've still got to get home. And then, of course, there's the hour while you're travelling, where you can't be running calls of that, because you're driving home and stuff.
Exactly. No, exactly. You're spot on. That's so right. And it is, because you are. Yeah. And it's hard to do. So, and yeah, I mean, I remember when I used to be in the UK and I was in London on the tube, and how busy it was.
Yeah.
And couldn't move, like, that's never going to be the same again.
No.
I mean, it's not possible anymore, because you can't have that many people in close proximity. You just have to find other ways. People are actually now starting to walk and around London, not rely on the tubes anymore,
right.
Finding ways, you know, to reduce it. They gave an email saying, you know, don't travel unless you have to, and when you do travel, try and, like, do a quick trip on the tube and then walk in.
So I
used the tube, like, once during the lockdown, because everything else I drove. Walked, because I don't live in London. I lived on the outside when I was living in the UK.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I was very much like not wanting to go on it, because people were trying to get on, but then people were getting up because they were nervous, and because it was
This is the thing, everybody's nervous about anything, because, you know, I speak to my family and, oh, we can't go out, we can't do this, can't do that. What sort of response has Born to Do It received so far?
Really positive. So I love it when people send me images of them in the book and smiling. And one of them told me today, it was a great story. She told me that you realize now that I'm being too bored with my business. She said, oh, well, we design websites.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue we're finding is that we're not really getting much clientele. We're doing, you know, like, we're being positive, but we realize that we're not homing in on the niche. We're being too general, just saying websites. But what we tend to do is specialize in designing spiritual based websites.
Right. Yes.
Make that clear. And you just told us then how to really home in on the niche. And now we feel a lot more inspired now and positive that business will work. So I was like, great. So just seeing people, like, learning something from it is incredible, and they're getting the message of the book and understanding it. So I'm really excited when I hear that great news.
Have you, like I sort of said about 5 minutes ago, have you had people sort of say about relating it to their lives rather in a business area? Because I can see it actually talking to people, you know, how their lives can be affected by such a book.
Oh, no, absolutely. Because one of them told me, a friend of mine read it, and she's been a bit stuck in a rut for a while with her career. And then she realized that because she's not feeling herself and that she's not being her true self, and she needs to really be more positive. And then she designed herself a vision board, that it wasn't just business, but it was all aspects of her life. She'd been focusing so much on her career and just being so focused on career, but she hadn't actually spent time on her.
Right.
She wanted romance. Kids and family life and healing, that kind of stuff. She was so focused on clients. And then she realized that making a vision board and watching it each day and looking at it, she felt a lot more connected to source, and then her family and everything kind of shifted. So I was like, there you go, it's a power vision board. And she looks at it every day, as I say in the book, and then she looks at it when she goes before she goes to bed. She has it in the right place in a room, so it's in
so
the
you can
line.
See it, we see it in the eye line. It's funny you should say that. I've got two music shows that I do on the weekend, and I just recorded one today called Those Were the Days, music from the 20th century. And I always finish with a slowie, the old dance days, the last record was a slow one sort of thing. And the one I picked for today was by that French singer Charles Aznavour. He had a big hit with She, I think. And, he had a song called You've Got to Learn. And there's a line in that, and something totally different to what we're talking about now, but there's just this line, and it's, you've got to learn to leave the table when love's no longer being served.
Oh, I love that line.
I know. I've picked it up like about 40, 30 years ago, and you see people who are stuck in a relationship or stuck with something, you know, doing something, because they haven't got the courage or whatever, or they're scared what people might say, to get up and leave that table. And it's that sort of thing that people have got to realize to do. And like you said, with your friend, the fact that she can now say, hey, you know, my life is more than what I was doing. And she's got the board, and it's great. So that's terrific. Well, Rebecca, it's been terrific chatting to you. Time's whizzed by, as it always does, when we've got such an interesting chat. But what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you, so you can tell everybody where people can find out more about you and, of course, your book.
Yeah, so thank you. So it's been a really great interview. I've really enjoyed it. And to find out more about me and my book, visit my website, which is RebeccaLouisaSmith.com, and follow me on Instagram, which is at RebeccaFilmDR.
Okay, well, good luck with the book. Are you now? You've got your toes in the water. You're going to do some more.
Well, yeah, people have said you need to do more, so I'm thinking. Well, I think there is another book in there. Right now, I only want to enjoy this one and start getting the message out there.
Right, indeed.
I'll be writing one in a couple of years, but there is already. But I think I just need now a little bit more stuff to do to then make it the book it needs to be.
Get your film base going, or your book base in this case.
I might even do a novel about more kind of film festival experience. Yeah.
Now, but behind the screen or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, Rebecca, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. It's been really great chatting to you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
Take care.
There you go. My guest today, Dr. Rebecca Louisa Smith. And we've been talking about her book, Born to Do It, Becoming the Leader of a Business Niche Using Powerful Spiritual Techniques. Interesting stuff. Not just, as we've been saying, about the sort of your work, family, life, whatever. People have got it. You just got to look for it sometimes. You just got to have the courage, look at yourself plainly. Just, don't be afraid and just go for it. Go for it, indeed. Rebecca's agreeing with me in the background. Anyway, that's it for now. It'll be a repeat show tomorrow, because tomorrow is my birthday. And thank you. And I can have the day off. So apart from that, unfortunately, I've got a family funeral in the morning. But apart from that, yes, I'll be up. But, of course, I'll be back on Sunday at 5 to 6 with Those Were the Days, music from the 20th century. And being my birthday month, it's my picks. We don't normally have a theme and music around it, but it's my picks this week. And then between 6 and 7, Swinging 60s, music from the 60s. Well, that's it. I will see you tomorrow with a repeat, and I'll see you weekend. So, of course, I've just got one thing left to say. Don't forget.